Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh my God, my selfie just got 100 likes.
Did it?
Did you see that? The day I take a selfie is the day that we know Armageddon is near.
I'll be waiting.
You know that?
I'll be waiting.
No, you know darn well, the day I take a selfie is the day we know Armageddon is near.
That is absolutely true. I will vouch for that 100%.
How are you?
Doing well.
You should be doing well.
I know.
I mean, you're feeling better than the executives at Fox.
I absolutely am.
Because the executive at Fox are sitting there going, oh no. What do you mean we might have the Kansas City Royals? It's not the Royals' fault. They just had to play baseball.
Right. They didn't do anything wrong, in fact.
Nope.
They did everything right.
Here is the situation. If you're Fox, you have the World Series. You have no Yankees, no Jeter, no Red Sox, no Ortiz. You have no Mike Trout. You have no Andrew McCutcheon. But you've got the Kansas City Royals.
Well,
that's a big issue. Now, people are wondering, where's Kevin today? Kevin wanted to be at his son's JV game today. They canceled the JV game. So right now, he is at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club taking selfies. No?
He's trying to get 100 likes.
Well, I'm sure if he coerces his kid 100 times, he'll get 100 likes. So that's what we got. So we're going to talk to Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com. At 4:06, we have Joe Susan today at 3:35. So we have a lot going on. But Sarah, your Orioles. Your Orioles are in.
They are. They did well. They sweep Detroit. I'm happy about it.
How much were you sweating in the ninth inning?
I got very, very nervous. And then when Buck decided... to, you know, force the walk, I thought, well, it's either going to work or it's not. And it worked.
Exactly. Oh, it worked.
But
all right.
I was nervous.
He did the right thing, though. He put the weaker hitter at the plate. And it's amazing. When we think back to the trade deadline, what were the big moments of the trade deadline? The A's get Lester. The Tigers get David Price. Neither team made it through the opening round. How about that? Neither team made it through the opening round. And they made the biggest splash. In fact, I don't think David Price has ever won a playoff game in his career. This is the next step for Trout, McCutcheon, and those guys. They have to become good postseason performers. Now, McCutcheon's batting average is good, but, you know, McCutcheon's never driven in a postseason run. So he's got to take the next step. Trout had a lousy playoff. He hit the one home run. That was it. He had opportunities. He had guys on base. They need to take the next step. They got the Redskins tonight. They got the Seahawks. Uh-oh. Yesterday was interesting. And college football was crazy. Derek Green, starting tailback for Michigan, is out of the Penn State game and out for the rest of the season. He broke his collarbone against Rutgers. So Davion Smith is going to start at tailback. Good football player. Hard nose, bruising kind of runner. More between the tackles. But he will start against Penn State. And again, Derek Green is out of this game and out for the rest of the season for Michigan. Brady Hoke met with the media today. He was asked about his job security, blah, 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 blah. You know? Are you worried about your job security? I suppose they... It's a question that has to be asked, but okay. I mean, everybody worries about their job security all the time, including the guy that asked the question. He should, at least he should. It's a night game. There is allegedly a protest by the students against the athletic administration where they will stay outside for the opening kickoff, then come in. How about that?
That's just, I don't know. It's a little bizarre.
They don't like how they've been treated. As you know, Michigan already has, I'm trying to think, 6,000 short on student season tickets. 6,000 short. Penn State sold out its tickets for students, I think in a grand total of 28 minutes. Some number like it was amazing.
Now, it always does, though. It always does.
But,
Penn State does.
But let's be fair, though. Northwestern was a noon kickoff. That student section wasn't filled.
Okay, okay.
And Michigan State, and it never did fill up, sir. Michigan State has a really good football team. They would be five games into the conversation among contenders to be in the college football playoff. Yet, they sell 13,000 season tickets to their students. 13,000. You know what? They had no shows left and right for that game. They played Nebraska. Nebraska. A big home game. Nationally televised. Yeah, it was raining. But still. Their athletic director, Mark Hollis, says he's embarrassed. And head coach Mark D'Antonio says he was disappointed. They had no shows for the Nebraska game. No shows. Tickets were sold, but the kids didn't show up. And then in the fourth quarter, if you happen to catch any of the fourth quarter of that game, Michigan State was up big and it's raining. They left. There was a huge pocket, a huge hole of seats. And the huge hole of seats and pocket were created by the students who left. Nebraska made somewhat of a rally and ended up to be 27-22. But that's an issue. And this is an area where in college football, they've got to start taking a long, hard look and find out from students what are the issues. You only get X amount of time in your life to go to a game like this and sit in the student section. Why aren't you going? Why aren't you using your tickets? And you can't talk about the kickoff time because it was a night game. And so, you know, it's a real issue right now about what to do. And this is something we talked about during the summer. Last year, Georgia, 29% student no-shows. Michigan, 26% student no-shows. Arizona, which just upset Oregon. Okay? They have 47% student no-shows at Arizona.
Now, admittedly, sir, there's a lot to do in Tucson. Okay?
The weather's always nice.
It's true.
Okay? And that's there's a lot to do there. So, now Michigan State, they have a problem. They have to deal with it. And I don't know what to do about any, you know, I don't really have any answers for them. I think one of the, let's look at one issue that's in Beaver Stadium. One issue that's in Beaver Stadium would be as follows. If you go to Beaver Stadium, your inability to use your cell phone is an issue. Now, part of that is there are so many people trying to use their cell phone at one time because you now have 102, 107,000, whatever the number happens to be, in a confined area. And they have tried their cell phone towers now on top of the press box. There's a cell phone tower in back of Medler Field, Loprano Park, and so forth. But I think the ability to use your cell phone, text, call, whatever, you should be able to do it with somehow with complete ease. And that part has to be figured out. I'm not big into this. Well, you know, kids want to use social media and things like that. I don't see kids caring about that. I really don't. Joe Sousa coming up next. We'll talk about Bucknell.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Great to have you with us on this Monday. And as always, I enjoy our football conversations every Monday with the head football coach, the outstanding head football coach of Bucknell football, Joe Sousa. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Good afternoon, Steve. Great to be back.
Okay. Now you have to do something where you got to look at your guys and say, okay, we are in a bounce-back mode. What do you request of them when they get into that mode? Is it any different than when things are going the way you need it?
What we have here is a 24-hour rule, and right after the game, both after the game immediately and then when we return from our bus trip, talk to one of our biggest challenges is getting rid of this, getting rid of the feeling. I think that 18 to 23-year-olds do it a little bit better than people of my age. And yeah. One of the things that we did that we've been select when we did it is we went out on Sunday night, and they responded very well. We had a corrections period, an intro period to the next opponent, and they actually flew around the field like I knew they would, but always there's always that concern, you know, how is this thing going to hang over their heads? And they understand that we have an opportunity, and what once you're in the league, every week becomes a playoff game. And
right.
we've always preached to them it's one game seasons, and they understand the importance of this. They also know that I think they learned from an opponent that had a bye week before they played us to be ready for the unexpected. And I credit Bryant and their coaching staff for pulling off some of the unexpected. And Lehigh's coming through the same thing. They had a bye week. It gives them a chance to get healthier, and it gives them a chance to really look at what we do and create what they do, and with a little wrinkle here and there. And we'll do the same thing, though. We attack each opponent differently, and you know, it's unique to some of our players. How come they ran some different plays? They get paid to coach their kids too, and but it's a perspective of 18 to 23 year old young men that they have to understand that your fundamentals, how you do things, are going to help you through the unexpected. And if you're prepared, you'll know how to react. And our players do a very good job of preparing. We got hurt in a special team situation where they faked a punt, and it was a punt return. So as their punter was running down the field, he's running, and our players have their backs to him because they're working on a return. And then when we get a little bit of momentum right after the half, we have them pinned on the 4-yard line, and we had two guys in one gap, which made one gap unoccupied, and he took advantage of that gap and outran us. But you know, that happens in college football. Half everybody prepares the same way. Half the teams come away on the wrong end of the scoreboard every week, and you know, that's over. And our players have responded well, and our prep is for another opponent that we play on the road, but a traditional opponent that we play every year. And I know that Andy Cohen will have his team prepared to play us, and we will have our team prepared to play them.
Yeah. How do you handle Sundays when you go through your correction period? Is this done in a walkthrough form, and then you do the hitting later in the week?
Yes. Normally on Sundays we go out in what we call spider pads. We wear helmets, and the spider pads are a lacrosse shoulder pad with no hard surfaces. It protects their shoulder points. And our correction period was fast paced, but there's no real contact. And it's the same way with the intro period. The intro period we do with a scout exchange, and what it does, too, is it gets the scout team ready to run Lehigh's defense, Lehigh's offense. And then we actually had two Bucknell versus Bucknell 7-on-7s. Playing against speed is critical. And we did a first and second down 7-on-7, a third down 7-on-7. And then we finished with a two-minute drill that one part of it, the offense won, one part of it, the defense won, and when you break that 50-50, both sides come off feeling pretty good. But we have pizza in the locker room after Sunday, and they're in there watching the NFL, and they're back to being 18-23, and I'll never be back to being 18-23 I'd like to be, but you know, that's not going to work. The calendar's only going in one direction. And at times, it's Bob Odell told me when I was here in the 80s, he put his arm around me after a particularly tough loss, that losing is worse than winning is good. And no truer words were spoken. But Vince Lombardi said, and I quote, "Show me a good loser and I'll show you one."
Yeah.
And, it's the way it works.
Exactly. Yeah, that is the way it works. There's no question about that. You mentioned and referenced earlier the big plays. As you and I both know, there are five or six probably in a game that happen. It could be a turnover. It could be a long run, long pass, punt, something. But it could be play 3, play 20, or play 94.
That's right. They dictate the end of the game.
Yeah, they dictate the end of the game.
You saw it when USC got beat by Arizona State on a long end of the game. We call it goalpost. We had the same opportunity at halftime, where we threw from the plus 45 into the end zone, and Bobby Cashlander had it initially, and then it got knocked out. You know, you go in there scoring at the end of half, regardless of the score, you have momentum. And there are game changing plays. Your preparation has to be ready for it, because, like you said, it could be play three, and it could be the last play of the game. That's right. When a team basically decides it's going to win, or the other thing.
Well, USC, the safety tried to field it like a punt. You got to go to the right. High point and get that ball. I mean, everything's going to be done at the high point. Yeah, high point and get it to the turf.
That's right.
Didn't do that. It's for you. You got Lehigh. Here's the turnaround. How important will balance be for you in your overall scheme against Lehigh, where you can give the threat? Not, you don't have to be 50-50 play calling, but the threat of each in a game.
I think it's critical, and they are a base cover four defense, but four cross in the secondary. And what that gives them in run game, it gives them a nine-man box, basically. And being able to take advantage of that in our play action on early downs or run action on early downs, and being effective in those plays, give you the opportunity for big plays. It really puts corners on an island, and that they're both one-on-one with the outside receivers. But we've got to account for those alley guys, the two middle safeties, in our run game, and we have some schemes that do that. We also have some concepts that put three receivers on the field, which is not really our base in first and second down, but it forces them to define their box, the tackle-to-tackle box. Are they going to be seven in the box or six in the box? If it's six in the box, we'll run the ball. If it's seven in the box, we'll throw the ball. And those are the decisions that our quarterback's going to make at the line of scrimmage. And that balances things out as it relates to what they're trying to do against us defensively. They're primarily a zone team. They do play some man-free. They have been very explosive on offense. Their quarterback, Shafansky, is a very good football player, both run and pass. He's a senior, and this is his time. And being able to limit his effectiveness is going to be a focus of what we do defensively. They are well coached, and they've been in close games, and they just have not won those close games. And the football team that you are is related to the football team you are in close games, especially at this level. There's so much parity.
You, as a coach, of course, have to react because you want to make corrections. I don't care if it's a fundamental as little as a stance, which isn't little, or something where schematically you have to change it. Do you have to remind yourself at certain points as a coach, okay, wait a minute, now let's make sure, quote, we don't overreact?
No question. And the things that I overreact to are, we had three unsportsmanlike conduct penalties.
Right, okay.
And those are the things that they have to come away from the game understanding that usually when you have an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, you're reacting as an individual without any sensitivity to the team, and that becomes a selfish penalty. And one of them was done by a young guy. Hopefully he's learned. One of them is done by one of our better players. And the circumstances that lead up to that are related to frustration, whether the game's not going as well as you thought it would be, or you're retaliating to something you think might have happened or did happen. And the retaliators always get flagged. Then the one thing I told my team Sunday night was that you are not going to win an argument with an official. All right, it just doesn't work that way. They have the ultimate responsibility of controlling the game, and know, you and for in our rule book we say you talk to the official if he talks to you, and it's a yes or no sir deal. And sometimes emotions get in the way of how they talk to the officials. And I was fortunate that the official was very good in communicating with me, and I agreed with him. You know, with the things that happen, you have to make that call. And you know, officials have a tough job because in most cases, if you're aware of the officials, they're never right in your eyes or the crowd's eyes. And I have a lot of respect for the rule, the content of the rules they have to know. And you know, they're out there in the midst of chaos. That's what it's controlled chaos. And
sure.
Especially the guys that play like the umpire. He plays 7 yards back behind the offensive and defensive line. And that, those things come at you very fast. And the guy that was the umpire this past weekend was a ex-college football player, but he's also a 52-year-old. And when you got a bunch of better athletes running around in front of you, you better get out of the way. I did tell him that we'll use him as a rub, as a pick play every once in a while, and he gave me this look. That, well, our kids, our players know where the officials are on the field, and we have a couple of concepts that take advantage of his spacing there. Usually, they're not the usually the umpires aren't the guys that get out of the way the fastest. But respect for that position—that's the most important thing,
sure.
And
right.
Respect for yourself. When you do something like that, I have to react, and every lesson. Is it there? Everything that happens on a football field is a teaching moment, and we use it at that. And the thing I know that my players know from me is that unless they do something immoral or something devious or illegal, that my reaction's brief, and then we get on because I'm the guy that preaches. Let's get ready for this next play. And but they understand how passionate I am about playing the game the right way.
Absolutely. Joe, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it. Best of luck at Lehigh, and bring back one.
Is Kevin fishing?
Well, he's fishing for something, Joe.
Well, I know that Sarah's your running mate today, and I'm not going to say anything further, but Sarah does a good job as well. And I'll get on Kevin next time I see him for leaving you and I alone. But I appreciate you covering us, Steve, and I really enjoy talking to you every week.
The same here, Joe. Big backer, and I know that you'll bounce back.
That's right. There's no other way.
Joe, thanks so much. Joe Susan, head football coach. What a great job he does at Bucknell. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Joe Susan. They're at Lehigh, 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Of course, the Nittany Lions will play at Michigan Saturday night at 7. We're on the air beginning at 5:30. Sarah Bartlett's here today because Kevin said that if the Orioles went to the American League Championship Series, he would not be in. Ironically, the Orioles were in the American League Championship Series.
That's so weird.
They're in.
It's weird how that happens.
It's just, not only that, the audience benefits. All right, so, the American League Championship Series is set. Kansas City at Baltimore, best of 7 now. The National League still not settled. The Giants could complete the sweep of the Washington Nationals this evening. Doug Fister for the Nationals, Madison Bumgarner on the mound for the Giants. Meanwhile, the Cardinals and the Dodgers are tied at a game apiece in that best-of-five set. So that very much is still alive. Derek Green, outstanding tailback, speed and power. And despite some of the misgivings of the Michigan offensive line, he had compiled a pretty good year to this point. He is out for the year with a broken collarbone. Davion Smith is going to be the starting tailback for Michigan Saturday against Penn State. Justice Hayes will be his backup, and Drake Johnson will be the third tailback for Michigan. So that's where they are with their tailbacks. 800-795-9565. Let's go to Buzz in Northumberland. Hi, Buzz.
How are you, Steve?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm good. I just, first of all, want to mention to you how much I enjoyed the broadcast you guys did up at where did Penn State play last week where they lost that tough game?
Northwestern.
Okay. Yes. You guys do a great job. I imagine it's really difficult to try and maintain your enthusiasm in a situation where your team's getting thumped, but you guys did a real good job on that, and I actually ended up turning off the television and listening to the rest of the game on the radio.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
The question I had for you was watching the Eagles yesterday, and I see this a lot in pro teams, and I just wonder if you've ever had a thought as to what happens to a team. Do you think a team plays to the level of its opponent, either up or down? I mean, there the Eagles were playing not a really good football team in St. Louis, and they were up 34-7, and all of a sudden it's 34-28. I mean, what happens to a team that's playing that hard and that well that they give up three touchdowns? And that kind of, is that a psychological thing? Is that a lapse in management thing? What do you see that as? What happens there? How does that happen?
I think part of it, Buzz, is I think you get to a certain point and go, you know what? We got it.
Damn, yeah.
We're okay. Got it made. Yeah, I gave up a score. Yeah, we're still up. We're good. And then you think you're playing hard, but there's still a part of you that says, okay, look, let's just watch the clock and get this thing over with. We got it.
Boy, they're not going to be able to do that too much, I don't think, on the rest of the schedule. It seems like, can you think of a really good team lately in the past few years in the pros that just went out there and beat people up and kept beating them up until the game was over?
No, not for a long time.
No, I mean
Denver was sort of like that last year.
Yeah,
but I think part. But then, of course, when they got their nose blown, Zoe Mightball, great front runner. I've never seen them get knocked in the nose and come back.
Interesting. Well, thanks. I just wonder what your thoughts were on that. So,
yeah, Andrew. See, I just think teams get complacent. Players, even pros, get complacent when they got a big lead. Like, we got it made. There's 11 minutes left. We're fine. It's all good.
It's not all good.
Yeah, and the other guy's coming back at you. You're like, okay. And then all of a sudden you have to regenerate that enthusiasm that you talked about, Buzz. And suddenly there's no on switch.
Hard to do.
It is.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Buzz. Great hearing from you. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Steelers won yesterday. What a beautiful performance. Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com, steps in to talk to us next. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, happy Monday, everybody.